This week on Six Stars Only, we're talking about how to streamline your editing workflow to create professional-looking videos that keep your viewers watching all the way to the end. Let's jump into it. All right, this is Six Stars Only. My name is Matt Woods, and I'm here with my very good buddy, Jake Arndt, and we're teaching you how to be make better videos, be a better video creator. Specifically, how do you polish your editing workflow so that your ideas come across clearer, people want to watch all the way through to the end, and you create something that is truly noteworthy. Get the subscribes, get the clicks. Jake, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, man. It feels good to record not at 10 p.m. at night, but my allergies are killing me, and if you can't tell, I'm more nasally than I normally am, so... But other than that, I'm pretty good. I'm excited to talk about editing because I actually know somewhat of what I'm talking about this episode. So.
Well, that's a change. No, I'm kidding.
Finally. That it is. Only took 15 episodes to get there, but I'm
excited. Well, I am curious, too, because I think editing is such an important part of really any creative process, but it always gets kind of it gets some short shrift. You know, a lot of times, you know, when you're writing something, a lot of people just want to hit the publish button and feel the euphoria of, you know, going live. But the best writers are also either are great editors or they partner with a really great editor. I was listening to the other day about a review of Avengers 2, right? Age of Ultron, and just how like they needed more editing. There was so much stuff in there, and if they would have compressed it down, there was good stuff in that movie, but if they would have edited out like a third of it, it would have been a way better movie. So whether even if you're a photographer, right, you can tell a good photo from a not good photo from how it's cropped, from how the colors look, from all these things. So it's not something that's just for video, but especially in video, editing makes a huge difference, and this can cover everything from how your clips are arranged, what you choose to keep in or take out, how you process your audio, how you add titles, all these kinds of things. And so I kind of want to jump into it. I want to hear your thoughts first. How have you found editing to be useful or important or helpful when you're creating stuff?
Yeah, so I think editing is... It's one of the ways that, like you mentioned, it kind of gets overlooked, but it's one of the ways where you can kind of separate your own content from someone else. If that makes sense. Yeah. How you edit videos and how you just in post kind of, it kind of allows you to put your own stamp and kind of your own style because, I mean, I guess it's similar with writing because, you know, you had to proofread writing, but with editing it, you can put in graphics, you can put in text, you can, you know, cut on action or you can cut, you know, quick cuts, do all this different kind of stuff that can really give it a different voice and really just kind of gives it that extra oomph in video. A good example is, I can't think of the channel name, shows how prepared I am for this podcast, but there's this guy on YouTube who just goes to chicken shops in London.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
He just goes and, I mean, it's really well made. There's a good camera, but the editing and like the little effects that go on screen, like it's mostly just kind of like little base After Effects kind of flames and stuff, but it's very clean, it's very tight looking, and it just gives it that extra something that sets it apart from other food review videos because they're kind of in vogue right now. And yeah. I think that's just one of the greatest examples, and that's something that I try to do with my own content because I like editing for the most part, depending on how long it takes, but I view it as a time to kind of put my own stamp at the end of, okay, you know, I wrote the script, I did, you know, the entire thing. Editing is where you just take the entire package from writing to filming everything, you put a little bow on it, and then you ship it out. So it's all aspects of production are important, but editing is when you can really just kind of put your stamp on it and make a video your own and make it your own taste and style. And
yeah, so I think of it like if you have a chef in the kitchen and he's like halfway through the meal or like halfway through cooking stuff and he tastes it and he's like, oh, it needs more salt, it needs this, and he finishes it up and then he plates it in this beautiful way that looks like it belongs in a magazine. It's like, that's what good editing does. It takes what's like almost exactly working, takes it the last mile, and then serves it up in a way that just is so pleasing and clear and really like finishes off the video strong. So before we talk about what great editing, you know, we've talked a little bit about what it can do, but before we hop into our editing workflows, I want to talk about what editing can't do, because how many times do you get pissed when people are like, oh, blah, 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 oh, you know, we'll fix it in post. We'll Photoshop, you know, we'll use a green screen and add this actor in. It's like, I'm not Industrial Light and Magic. I'm not Disney. Like, we can't, that's not how video works.
That's
not
how it works at all.
That's not how it works. There are these things called the laws of physics, and don't mess with them. No. But there's a lot of stuff that you can't fix. You know, garbage in, garbage out. If your lighting is no good, there's a little bit you can do in editing, like maybe 10%. But there's just no way that you can take a terribly lit scene and transform it into something that just looks incredible in post. It's just not going to happen. Same thing with like any audio that goes in. If you just have garbage audio in and like something that's disconnected, or it's a bad mic, or it's not close enough, or you have a bunch of background noise, you can do a little bit depending on the noise, and you can filter out certain things. But in general, it's just so much easier to do it before you get to the editing stage. It's better to edit before you go and edit as you go by, you know, framing your shots the right way, by checking your audio settings, by making sure you have the right things in place, and even just your camera settings. Like, how frustrating is it when you thought that you were recording in a certain size, or you thought you had a certain exposure setting, or you thought the focus, you can't fix the focus in post. You get to your computer and you blow it up, and it's just a little bit out of focus.
Oh man. I mentioned, I guess a few episodes ago, but about a really bad kind of client video I made where nothing was, it was pretty much a nightmare. Everything that could have gone wrong did. We didn't have any of the equipment. We didn't have anything. But they wanted, what they wanted for the video, we just couldn't do, and we didn't have enough lights to do this green screen effect, and it was a complete nightmare. And like Matt mentioned, you just, I believe it was the great Vince Lombardi, I always like butcher quotes on this podcast, but Vince Lombardi once said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. It might not have been him.
Did he really say that?
I have no idea. I think he did. I think I saw on a t-shirt once in the Arndt household in Wisconsin.
Vince Lombardi and or Abraham Lincoln.
And or some other famous,
No, I like that.
Michael Scott. But
Mark Twain.
It's true.
Every quote on the internet is actually a Mark Twain quote.
It's just all attributed Mark Twain. To him. It's all Mark Twain. But yeah, that's when you just have to plan, when you plan accordingly and you take the time to get good lighting, to get good, to actually know what your camera settings are and they're correct, get audio, because look, Premiere and After Effects and everything has come a long way, but if it's just bad lighting, there's nothing you can do. You just have to reshoot it. And it's
know what
really,
you can fix in post. Know what you can't.
Exactly. And it helps you because it's just less headache for you. But especially if, for instance, if you're doing a corporate video or you're doing videos for someone else, then money's involved and it's really bad. So that's something you just kind of have to learn. And you just got to plan ahead, because editing already takes a lot of time. It already takes a lot of effort. You don't want to add more time and effort and headache to what you already have to do. And I'll add something else to this. I think we mentioned on the whatever the sins of video editing or just video making, it's really important to slate your scenes. I've noticed this. And by slating, I mean, have you ever seen movies, the little clacker thing where it's, you know, scene 5, take
action.
34.
Yeah, they have like the little clappy clap
and
thing.
It's a really easy thing to do. But the reason you do that is because the editor, so you go in, you have all the clips and you're about to edit the videos. And depending on how long your video is, like if it's just like one scene, you know, maybe you can do without it. But if you're doing like a 10-minute long video on YouTube that has a lot of different takes, you just want to make it easier for yourself. Or if you're filming for someone else and you're going to ship it off to some other one who's editing, they'll thank you for saying, you know, take 4, take 5. And then it just helps them in the end. And something else, which we also mentioned, is that before, so let's say you're recording, hopefully you wouldn't be using the camera mic. So you're using a separate, you know, mic or a lav mic or something to clap before, the way it's easy to sync up in post when you're editing audio, because if you don't have that, sometimes it can be really annoying, and it just adds more headaches to what you don't need. So there's quick things that you just need to do. Just think about that next time you're about to do something. So
before I started editing, I never knew why they did that. So if you didn't know,
now you know.
You do. The more you know.
More.
Okay. So I want to go ahead and just dive into the mind of Jake when he's editing, when he's in the zone, assuming that we didn't forget to light something, or that, you know, the camera didn't blow up or whatever. You got your footage. The script worked. You've got an SD card of video goodness in your hand. Enter editing, Jake.
Enter editing.
What happens? Walk me through your process from start to finish. I want to know how this goes, because I don't think I've actually talked through exactly what you do at every step. So let's walk through that. Tell me how it goes.
So preemptively, I've done it so much that it's kind of bizarre to think about, like, what is my actual process? So this is just what I do. There might be a correct way to edit and like have a workflow and everything. This is just what I do personally. But okay, so like Matt said, wrote the script, filmed everything, did whatever. I'm gonna use it in the context of my channel, my YouTube channel, which I use a lot of stock footage and a lot of voiceover. So essentially, I've done all the voiceover files, I've done everything, and then I take it to Premiere. So what I do first is I just kind of parse through all the footage and all the audio clips first, and this is where it comes in for Slid, like I mentioned.
What are you looking for?
I'm just looking for takes that are good and takes that are bad, essentially. So there's a lot of footage, and you're going to want to have a lot of takes normally because you want that coverage, and by coverage, I mean you want to just get a lot of takes and angles to make your production look good. So let's say
do you rename those as you go too? I feel like I've seen you go through.
I do. Yeah,
like,
I go through, and if they haven't, or if I haven't already slated, which I'm lazy a lot, even though I said you should, I don't do it because I just film myself. But then I, you know, name it. If I'm in front of the desk, desk one, desk two, take two, and all that stuff, and I just go through and I just label those. That way, when I go back, I know what I'm looking for. Like, okay, I need this scene. So when I go back and look for it, it's easy to find. Usually when I edit, I also have the script as well, because that way it's just linear to, okay, the beginning of this script calls for this scene. There you go. Because I edit in a linear way once I get going. Some people might just do a piecemeal. That's normally how I start. But anyway, it all comes down to first just combing through what I have. Film, video, I use Pectiv, we mentioned before, as with stock footage, so I go through and just make sure I have all that. Okay, so now it's time to put it actually in the Premiere. I use Premiere. You can use, depending on what video you want or, you know, how involved, I mean, you could still like use iMovie or Vegas Pro or whatever. I just use Premiere because that's just what I'm used to. So I get all the clips and I put them in Premiere. And again, I put it in bins. Which I guess it's in the product
just like
window.
Folders, basically, right?
Yeah, so I just make a folder for graphics, right? Like logos, something I'm using, audio clips, everything. Again, just making it very clean and easy to kind of navigate when I'm editing, because even in just my, what was my last video? My cheese cracker video, which is really weird to say out loud. I used dozens, probably like 30 or 50 just, you know, pictures like I found from the internet, PNGs and stuff. Photoshop files, everything. So when you're trying to edit and it's just a long, and mine was only a 5-6 minute video. So going through that, scrubbing it along. Okay, you know, this graphic is messed up. I have to put it back again. Well, where is it? And then, you know, if you don't name it, it's just this ginormous scrolling list you have to like go through. And that's just, again, it's a headache. My process is just to make it as clean as possible. So once I get all that set up, I mentioned I edit in a linear fashion, so basically I just start kind of clicking and dragging on the timeline. So go through the list. All right, the first thing is I introduce the video with my voiceover. Okay, the clip of the stock footage from the Friends opening goes there first. Bump, bump, bump. So I just put it on the timeline, and I just get everything on there. This is kind of like a rough draft of the writing, so if you think of it in a writing sense, it's going to be ugly, and it's going to not fit very well at first. But the important thing is that you just kind of need to get it on there first, because it's very daunting when you have a lot of footage and it's just a blank Premiere Pro file open. It's like, oh my gosh, like I have so much work to do,
right?
All this stuff. Like, it's kind of like, you know, the similar thing with a Word doc that's empty. It's just blinding and it's flashing at you. So
this is just kind of like getting your big pieces in the right order. Just, it's kind of like getting your rough cut down.
Exactly. Yeah. You just got to get your rough cut. So I just click and drag everything on there. And it's usually just the video files first, and then go the voiceover files, and then, you know, go, you know, everything else. And then once that's done, it's the editing time, meaning, I said cut and paste. Well, you know, cut, shrinking down the files, just going through and slowly making passes of okay, like this needs to be this long. I need this transition. I want this effect to happen. I want this logo to look like his hands cut off in the cheese cracker video. And that's when the actual editing happens. And like I do it in a linear sense. You don't have to, but it's just easier for me because, you know, I edit the first scene first and then, okay, that thing, it looks good. You know, I hit play, I hit the space bar. Okay, that's done. Let's move on to the next scene. So I view it in these little kind of bits and pieces that make it easier to digest and easier to work on, as opposed to just this big old timeline that is just huge and it's just unwieldy. So that's what I do. I spend a lot of time on it. I go back and forth. Preferably, I would recommend if you have friends, like you have roommates or something, have them look at it. I'm very weird with my videos. I don't want anyone to see it until it's released because I like the surprise. Which is good to an extent, but at the same time, it's like with writing. If you have a blog post, I always bother Matt to have him look at my writing because I want it to be as good as possible. And if you've been editing something for so long, like in writing again, you kind of become blind to it. So you might notice a mistake. So like you need that feedback. So maybe you're editing for a long time, take a break, go for a walk, listen to music, come back. Oh, this scene does not flow well. It's awful. This looks bad. Let me fix it up. So, okay. Editing time finally done. So let's export it. And this is something that I learned the hard way last time, is really need to make sure that the export settings, the sequence settings are correct. So let me go back, you know, I guess to the very beginning. So you're using a nice camera like a Canon. So this all goes with the camera settings. Was it 1080? Like, what's the HD?
1080 by 720, like, I think 720 varies. Is still technically
HD. Like, what's the average? I mean, 10, I guess it varies.
1080p is like the big one, and then you have 4K.
Yeah, so like 4K is huge, and but let's just say like you're filming with a phone or whatever. It's the pretty standard. But I take a lot of stock footage from old commercials or what have you, and they're in very different formats. Well, I wasn't paying attention, so I exported it and I built it as if it was the same format as like the old commercial. So it was like 480. It was tiny. It just looked weird. And I was kind of noticing like, hey, how come these PECTIV HD clips are so like zoomed in? I was like, yeah, I'll just resize them and everything. And then I exported it to all the stuff. I was so excited to finally make a video put on YouTube for my set whopping 76 subscribers to find. And I looked at it and it was this tiny little box on YouTube. And I was like, what is this? Like, trash, like what happened in the meantime? And then I realized oh my gosh, I did the wrong sequence settings, which it was totally my bad. The Southern's coming out, it's my bad. So I had to go back, put it in the correct 720 by whatever, and once I did that, the stock footage was all janky and tiny now. So then I had to resize it, re-edit everything again, and it was just because of my negligence, made it take twice as long. So yeah. And it just took, so I had to do it again, and then I exported it to YouTube. And I mean, without going way too in depth, there's different, like there's pre-made export settings. So you can like, what do I do? Because there's a lot of custom settings you can make it. And on Premiere, at least, I don't know about the other ones, but there's like export for YouTube. Like if you want a HD Facebook, like 720p, export it that way, it'll look pretty good. An example is that for McMahon, they wanted like this really short video. I edited it and everything, and I exported it, but it was a huge file size, and it was meant to go on like a Facebook page or like Instagram, and they were like, why is this like a gig? Like we can't post this. And I was like, oh, okay. So I had to go to Media Encoder. So that's another thing you need to have in mind, is what your video is for. So if it's a corporate video that you want for social media, you're not going to export your like 4K video full size to put on. I guess you could. I don't even know how that would work, but you want to kind of parse it down and crunch it down. But yeah, in a nutshell, that's kind of what my editing workflow is like. Planning really hard at the beginning, writing the script, and just doing it in a linear fashion is how I found it works really well. Something else that I don't do that some people do is you can make separate sequence, and that kind of goes into kind of in-depth editing, which you could probably watch a YouTube video on or a tutorial. But if you have a really long, like, feature-length something, so, like, you have, like, a feature-length film or a really long, like, 50-minute YouTube video, you have the timeline, like, editing timeline, and it becomes ginormous, and the clips become so tiny when you zoom it out. So then you can make separate sequences. So they're like pretty much like the tabs on a browser like Safari or Chrome. And these little separate sequences are a lot more bite-sized and easy to edit. So you're like, okay, this sequence is done. Kind of like I mentioned, like, you know, this scene is done, this sequence is done. So you do it like sequentially, I guess would be the word. And then in the end, you combine all the sequences to make this one long thing. That way, then you export it and it just becomes... I don't do that because my videos don't really call for it at this point. I want to eventually make longer videos that have higher production values and what, you know, to what right, have
bad
you.
Bad Ads, the movie, 77-minute runtime. Bad Ads, the movie.
Seven million hits. But yeah, that's, in a nutshell, that's my editing, my workflow. So take what, glean what you can from what I do. But Matt, how about you? Like, what is your, how do you normally edit? I don't think I've actually ever asked you as well. Like,
yeah,
what's your workflow like?
Sure. Yeah. So my workflow, I think overall is pretty similar. I think it's a pretty standard workflow, but there are a couple of things that I emphasize a little bit, I guess. One is that I'm super picky about my folder settings. And so whenever I bring stuff in, I like to manage as much as possible, just like in just normal file system folders when you bring it in. So I usually store everything on a drive, and then I'll back it up to like Dropbox or something else like that as well. And so I always have like a new folder for the project. I'll put the date in there so I can quickly scan it. I'll do like the year, the month, and then like a few keywords for what it was. And then usually I always have at least the same three folders in a video project, sometimes more depending on what I have there. But I'll usually have a folder for exports for my final exported footage, all the different sizes and all that good stuff. Footage, which is like my raw footage, and I'll sometimes create like an assets folder in there as well for like graphics or things that are not video that I still want in there, fonts, things like that. And then I'll have like a project file for if I have like an audition file, if I have a Premiere file, anything like that, where it's kind of the sort of whatever those project files are, I'll stick those in there. And the goal of that is basically if I were to, you know, pass a project off to you and you've never seen it before, you have no idea what's there, I can just copy that folder, zip it up, send it to you, and you'll be able to open it and hit the ground running. You won't have to go hunt down images. You won't have to go wonder where things are. It'll just be easy to use. And I always set up my projects the same way. So when I come back to something a few months later, I know exactly where to find it. Yeah, so that helps me a lot when I'm getting things started. I usually tend to, because at work and stuff for videos too, I'm getting feedback from more people. I try and get feedback like right before I start the editing process to make sure it's really clear what the goal is with this video and what we're trying to do with it, to make sure I don't misunderstand, because that's another part of the editing process is if you're editing for the wrong thing, right? You can do a really good job editing, but if you didn't understand the purpose behind
that's
it,
true. Yeah.
You can end up just with the wrong video, which is no bueno. So you want to make sure you do that. And I've had videos where I've gone through like 7, 8, 9 drafts, not because because I didn't understand where we're trying to go with a video, or people had different ideas and I should have brought them in sooner. So the sooner you can get the right feedback, the better. And that's really helpful too, especially with your rough draft. So once I have all my stuff together, just like you, I will create my rough draft. And so I'll pop open Premiere, I'll import my files. I'll usually use like the IO shortcut so I can, on the keyboard, cut
in and out, which
is really helpful. Some of those keyboard shortcuts can save you a ton of time when you're laying down video. I'll toss that in there. I'm usually pretty picky about my in and end points when I'm putting down my rough cut because I want to get those once, because it's such a pain when you have like, you know, 20 clips and then you have to trim one, you have to move everything over and all your titles have to move and all your effects break and like try and get the cuts down really precise. So I always try and do that. Once all my cuts are down, I run through it, make sure it looks right, and then I'll do sort of like what I call like my base corrections. So I will fix anything to the lighting. I will go toss all the audio in Audition, and I'll make sure that it's sounding really, really good. A quick and dirty workflow, if you haven't done any sort of advanced audio editing before, is if you can compress your audio, which just means you take the high parts down and make them lower, you take the low parts down and bring it up so it all sounds the same. You don't get like people like getting way louder and then getting really quiet, because that's no bueno. And then you can apply some EQ just to kind of like even out people's voices, you know, just make it sound more warm and easy to listen to. That's always great. And then, so I try and do all that for everything and then make sure that it is at a good volume. And that makes a huge difference if you're able to do that. And so I usually just do it once my rough cut is down. All the audio sounds great. Awesome. After I'm done with that, I can go ahead and kind of like fine tune stuff, and I'll do my effects and I'll lay down my background audio and just smaller stuff like that. So that's kind of the workflow I go through it. Once it's all ready, I am a huge fan of Adobe Media Encoder. It's just super awesome. Yeah. If you don't know what Adobe Media Encoder is, if you use Premiere, rather than just exporting directly from Premiere, you can, basically queue it up in this separate program that will process it in the background. And the other great thing about this is it gives you a lot more flexibility in your video settings and how you're exporting it. So you could do an audio-only version and queue it up right after your video version. You could do a version for Facebook and do a different version for YouTube. And just like all those editor settings, you can create different versions of the video if you need to. I usually just do the H.264, and then I'll usually do it in like 1080p. And that's how I set my sequences up usually, unless it's some weird edge case. The only other thing I found really, really helpful just overall is making sure that you have an editing toolbox ready to go with all the places that you get, sort of your audio, that you get your animated effects. If you have you don't want to be hunting those down in the middle and realize like, oh no, I need to figure out, you know, background audio. I have no idea where to go. Put those in a bookmarks folder, throw them in a Google Doc, you know. It's super easy to find. I think we have like a downloadable checklist on 6starsonly.com that you can use. But just go ahead and get that. That way you don't have to hunt stuff down. You know you can grab Wistia Audio. You know you can grab Google Fonts from this place. You know, you don't have to spend a ton of time fiddling with that.
That's no fun. I'm totally interrupting, but I think it's interesting because, you know, you have more of a business kind of corporate video, and I'm more of just like, hey, like just this guy on YouTube kind of doing his own thing. Yet I do a lot of the same things, and those tools that Matt mentioned, I use those for essentially every single video. So please bookmark those, because it is really frustrating when I didn't have that, like Matt said, of like, hey, texting Matt, like, what's that pattern? Like that pattern generator thing, you know, what's this thing? And Matt would have to like, oh, you know, it's here again. So like just have it in a safe place that you can just find whenever, because again, for me, I'm lazy, and I want something to be as fast as possible. Editing innately is kind of tedious to an extent. That's just the way it is. So if you can take any step to make it go faster, then do it. Whether that be organizing your clips, organizing your folders, having a hard drive that saves all your stuff, that way you won't lose it years down the road, like I have before. Just take all the steps, because workflow is really important, especially when you work for a company or someone is paying you to edit. And like Matt mentioned, he sent me those videos, those clips. It's easy for me to read, easy for anyone to understand. So whether you're in a business and like you're contracting someone to do videos, or you're just like kind of like me, you're just like a content creator, wants to make better stuff, this is applicable for both sides kind of the aisle, because it's really important to be neat and to be able to find your stuff. That way you can push it out easily. And once you have that established workflow, you're able to make videos faster. So you can reach your audience faster, essentially. So,
awesome. Really cool. Well, I think that's pretty much all I have for my workflow. Do you want to just go into a few grab bags of tricks that we can use when you're trying to retain people's attention, and just common like best practices for editing? If you don't know how to spice it, let's say you just have like a dry interview or something where it's just starting to lag, are there any other editing tricks that you use to get people to watch to the end? Because that's one of the key things, especially like when there's so much video out there, it can be easy to lose people's attention. Are there any tricks or tips or sort of templates that you use to like edit things a certain way? Because one thing that is super common, just kind of table stakes, people do this forever, but learning how to use B-roll footage effectively, which if you don't know, B-roll, I mean, this is super basic, but it's just like secondary footage. Like if I were doing an interview with Jake about how much he enjoys cooking, right, I would film one shot of him just explaining how he cooks and how it makes him come alive. And then I'd grab other shots of him actually in the kitchen, you know, throwing olive oil in a pan, washing the dishes, you know, tasting the sauce, whatever that is. And I would stitch that in over top of it. And I'd cut away to that to give you some more visual interest. Yeah. And that pattern interrupt can be really effective.
Exactly.
So that's a basic one. But are there any other more advanced ones that you've seen other people do or that you like?
I mean, you pretty much took the words right out of my mouth. I always think of like in a news story with B-roll and kind of just the cuts of, which I use for Pective, one of my own videos, when it's just voiceover. So I need something to pique their interest, and doing effects with wacky like hands and everything is really tedious. So just find like a B-roll is really good. Having just different angles. So let's say you're just doing an interview, which can be really good, but like you mentioned, it can also be very dry if it's just one static shot. So get some different angles, maybe get another camera if you can. Sometimes it's tough. Or maybe you just have a Canon and just get your phone out and just film something else. Experiment with, you know, closer zoom-ins. Try and move the camera. I guess that's not necessarily an editing. I guess it is because you would edit it in post. But just do whatever you can at the beginning to spice it up. So, I mean, because you can do, you know, affect the audio, and you can, you know, maybe do some effects, and you can add some music. I think that would be another really important thing. If you don't have like a bed of music in your video, you need to really think about having one. And Wistia, like our you know, those free tools that we can show you guys is just a really good way to kind of just liven up the mood. So other than that, you kind of have to plan ahead to, okay, I know, like, here's my video. How can I spice this up? So film some other things. And when you have that other footage, you know, that other B-roll, that other stuff, then you can kind of experiment with, okay, I want kind of this smash cut or cut on action or just something else. So it does go, you know, it is an editing trick, but it kind of shows how just holistic, you know, video production is, because, you know, in a perfect world, you would kind of have planned ahead and have like that other kind of B-roll footage. But smash cuts, I know music for mine, I get a lot of free music online, which kind of makes it fun, and it's really important to obviously have music that fits the interview that you're going with, and it's not overpowering the dialogue. I kind of notice that sometimes
it's just off, or you can't hear the person talking,
or it's so faint,
so frustrating,
or there's kind of like a little beep, like there's kind of like this little flute or something in the song that's kind of annoying, and that's the worst thing you can possibly do. So you don't want to go overboard with the music bed, but it doesn't really add an extra oomph to it. And
no, that's
something else. Another really good thing is, so let's say you're, hey, like this is a business video, I'm talking, getting some just graphics. So I believe it's Rocket Stock. There's just kind of these free After Effects templates that are really easy to use. And it just adds some other visual interest, because like Matt mentioned, those pattern interrupts are so important, because it keeps you interested. It's not just the same thing. It's not just you talking for 15 minutes and not getting to the point. And those are free. That's one of the best things. And I use that a lot. So I would say music is a huge thing. If you don't have music, start using it. Try and find B-roll footage, or maybe just plan ahead and just film your own B-roll, or film different angles of the subject. And graphics, just simple graphics, meaning text. It could just be text of what the person is saying. But if it comes, slides in, you know, talking about pools, for instance, and hey, like, here's what he just said. It's like, oh, like, it's interesting. Something else is happening other than him standing there. So those are the kind of the three big things that I use a lot for my videos. So,
yep. Love it. I'll add just a couple more. One is just like a simple title card can really help break things up. So even if it's just breaking things into sections, you know, hey, now we're going to talk about the tools we use for editing, you know, having something like that to break it up. Even if you have one continuous interview video, that can help do a lot. Also, if people are talking about numbers or figures or doing something, just cutting away to, it doesn't have to be like a fancy animated explainer. It can just be literally like a PowerPoint looking like slide, or it can be like a graph, or it can just be like blowing up that number in a way that's easy to see. Like Vox style explainers do a really good job of doing more like a fancy animated version of this, but it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be simple. Just something so that it's easy for people to visualize what's going on. Even just cutting to a static photo like you were talking about. Yeah. I think you do this in a lot of your videos. But
Ken
just,
Burns, the little slot, like slowly zooming in is actually really good, what I use. So.
Yeah, it's good too. Wisti, one of their tutorials is about how to do this really slick trick where you kind of like can put your face in or something else and slide it in and kind of make it look like the video is getting pushed over to the side and then it gets pushed on over. Kind of like you're sliding out a drawer with your face in it. And the video is moving over as the drawer extends and then it moves back over. That can be pretty neat as well. And then I think another one, especially if you're on social media, so if you're posting a video to LinkedIn or to Facebook or Twitter, being able to upload some captions on the video can be really helpful because you can have people flip it on and sometimes that is the right choice, but sometimes you just want to hard code those in. And it's actually not too bad. You can use a service like rev.com or something, and for pretty cheap, you can get your video transcribed. Or if you really have time, you could go in and you could enter it yourself, and then you can basically just hard code that text right into the video itself, just burn it in there. And so people don't have to turn it on. They'll just see that whenever they watch the video. In some cases, you know, people use it if you can't understand them. Even if you can, you have to think a lot of people could be watching on their smartphone. They might not have their headphones on. And so it can be good to just have that there to make it easy to watch as well. So that's pretty much all I got. Any other things that come to mind about editing before we hop off?
We pretty much hit the nail on the head. Just, it's something, like we already mentioned, kind of tying it back in, it's a good opportunity to kind of put your own stamp and your own flair on your content. So take a lot of time, plan ahead at the beginning to ensure that the editing at the end isn't annoying and isn't a nightmare, because sometimes I'm really jazzed about a project I'm making or making, you know, editing, filming something for a client, and then the editing process sucks and it makes you hate the video that I made because it's just a train wreck. So yeah, just have fun. And it's one of those things where maybe you're listening to this and you don't really know how to edit very well, or you've done it a few times. Just the more you do it, it's like with anything, just the more you do it, the more you'll just naturally kind of get better at it. Don't worry if you're not great at it.
It's kind of a way of thinking too, because the great thing about editing is once you've done it a couple times, when you go back to shoot something the next time, you'll keep the things that were really painful for you during the editing process in mind and be like, oh, I couldn't fix the lighting. I got to take care of this. Oh, man, that was really rambly. Let's do another take right now so I don't have to try and awkwardly cut it off in the middle of a sentence. Like you'll start spotting things that make you a better creator, a better filmer, a better script writer, as well as an editor, right? Because the editor has to bring all these things together and really clarify what's going on. And so even if your first editing experience is really painful, which mine was, a lot of my first videos I edited were really painful. And even when you get into animated stuff and everything, oh my gosh, I could tell you stories about late nights when I didn't think I was going to make
After
it out.
Effects and graphics, man.
A nightmare. That's a video or a podcast for another time. But yeah, be ruthless, stick it out, and make videos that people want to watch all the way through. It'll help get you there. Cool. I want to talk really quick about an awesome note that I got from Kunal, who watched our StoryBrand episode the other day. He basically just said that he listened to our latest podcast episode. He thought it was great. And one takeaway that he took away was just about how to create a one-liner that explains your brand, and how he's going to use that in his podcasts and videos as well, which I thought was really cool.
Awesome.
It's awesome that we're getting feedback on that. So,
so cool.
Send us more notes like that. Leave us a review on iTunes, 6 stars only. Give us all the stars. Check that out because it helps more people find this show if you liked it, which I hope you did. Hopefully this was helpful. And then just shoot us a note. Our email is 6starsonly@gmail.com. We're on all the social stuff. Hit us up.
Yeah, man. One of the best things, whenever I get that little Slack notification and I find out, hey, someone else talked about us, like someone else gave us a review or feedback, honestly, we love feedback so much. It's so valuable to us because it lets us know what we're doing well, what we can do better, and how we can grow, because we want to grow with you guys and we want to make better content. We want to make this podcast better. And yeah, so just don't be afraid. Just hit us up. Is it Mattifer on Twitter and social media?
Yeah, Mattopher. And they can find you at Jake Arnott.
Yes, sir. Twitter the and classic. Instagram. And Jake Arnott on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe in all my videos. Let me know what I did well and what I did not do well. So, yeah. Man. And that's
awesome.
It.
Cool. Aces. Well, I think we are out of here.
See ya.
Like a herd of turtles. See ya, people.